Blog Talk Radio.
You said
Amen, amen. Do you believe for it on tonight? Glory to God. We thank God for everybody that's called in, everybody that has tuned in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thanks to modern technology, I was able to go ahead and sign on, but I'm just now, hallelujah, making it home. So y'all give me 1 second while I set everything up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll be right back. Give me about 5 minutes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
Thank you, Lord.
To the brand new me.
Yeah.
lyrics of that song say, Lord, deliver me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the person that wrote it, he was saying, deliver me from my way of thinking, from my stinking thinking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That song is a song. Hallelujah. It's a classic, and it ain't even that old. Because some of us still need to be delivered. Hallelujah, for some things. And we thank God for his deliverance on tonight. We thank God that he's forever present in our lives, and he's constantly working on us. Glory to God. If you're just not tuned in, called in, if you're out there on TikTok, on the phone lines, Blog Talk Radio, we want to welcome you to More Than an Hour of Power. Glory to God. Tonight is the question and answer session. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're talking about the book of Malachi tonight. But before we get into it, glory to God, let's go to the throne of grace. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you on tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for the ability to be able to come on tonight and hear what you have to say to the church, Lord. Hallelujah. Our ears are inclined to listen. And, Lord, we are ready to hear what you have to say. Lord, bless us with your wisdom. Bless us with your knowledge. Bless us with your revelation on tonight, Lord. And we thank you in advance for everything that you're about to say, everything that you're about to do, Lord. And we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, and we lift your name up high and holy because you are worthy to be praised. We bind, we rebuke, and cast away any work of the enemy that's trying to prohibit us from receiving what you got for us tonight, Lord. And we want to love on you tonight. We want to let you know, Lord, we love you. Lord, we appreciate you. Lord, we just magnify you. Lord, we just lift you up. Lord, just because you're worthy, just because you're God all by yourself, there is no God next to you, none above you, and there never will be. Hallelujah. You are the Most High God, and we worship you as such tonight, Lord. And we praise and glorify your mighty name. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God and amen. Hallelujah on tonight. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for everybody who has called in, everybody who has tuned in on tonight. This is More Than an Hour of Power. I'm your host, Elder Andre Prevost, a.k.a. the Black Prince of Preachers is in the building. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And also on the line tonight, we also have, hallelujah, the leader of the Comedic Jewish International Worldwide Fellowship, Apostle Elder Nate Curry. Hallelujah, is also in the building. Praise God. And I don't know if he'll be joining us tonight. Hallelujah, amen. But Pastor Matt Page, has also been invited. So he might be joining us. And, of course, hallelujah, we have also, hallelujah, they don't need to notarize their names called. We got the women of God on the line on tonight. Hallelujah, amen. And they are on the line, praise God. And they are also ready. Praise God to give their input, hallelujah, on tonight. Glory to God, hallelujah. So tonight we are addressing the book, hallelujah, of Malachi. Praise God. This subject came up, hallelujah, last week sometime on the live, praise God, because somebody wanted to know, amen, how much, hallelujah, money should we be giving to the church? Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. What is tithes? Hallelujah, all about what is the offering all about, praise God, hallelujah, amen, and why, it was a bunch of questions, but all of it wrapped up in the book of Malachi. Why every Sunday, praise God, I go to church and the pastor is telling me, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me, hallelujah, amen. What does that mean? Who is he talking to, praise God? Well, we going to get, hallelujah, into it tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Malachi. We're going to be examining it. Hallelujah. On tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to address the one first question that I know somebody asked. They say, how much? Because a lot of people are educated on tithing. They're not educated on tithing. They don't know what exactly what tithing is. One person I know, they got their check and they took out, you know, a few dollars and said, this for my tithes. And I said, that's not enough, glory to God, to be your tithe. Amen. So somebody said, well, what is, how much is the tithe? Hallelujah. The tithe is a tenth of whatever your check is. Glory to God. Now, some preachers, amen, and like I said, I'm going to open up the floor in a minute. Some preachers go back and forth, and they argue, well, should I pay tithes on the net of my check, which is how much your check is before they take taxes, glory to God, or should I pay, the gross, that's before they take taxes, or should I pay the net after they take taxes, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, like I say, I'm open for other opinions, but in my personal, amen, I believe, amen, we should pay a tenth on the gross, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, because that's how much you made. Regardless if the government took it from you, that's still what you made. You still get paid, what throw out a number, $10 an hour. After they take taxes, what, you made maybe $8.50 an hour after they take taxes. But they paid you $10 an hour. That's how much your checks say, glory to God. So I personally believe, amen, that you should pay a tenth, hallelujah, on the entire thing. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. And somebody said, well, why a tenth? Well, the tenth represents the whole thing. When you tithe, now we get tithing because, amen, you know Jacob tithe, hallelujah, and we do it by tradition. But when you do your research, you'll find that tithing, the tenth, represents the whole thing, literally. If you write it down on a piece of paper, say you make $100, that means your tithe would be $10. So if you will write those numbers on a piece of paper with the decimal points, 100.00, then 10.00, you get the same, basically the same number. Praise God. And it don't matter how much your check is. If your check is $533, then your check is going to be $53.30, 533. Glory to God. So symbolically, when you pay your tithe, well, you're not actually paying tithe. Because the tithe already belongs to God. So you're not paying tithe. You bring in the tithe. So you can't bring nothing that don't be, you can't bring me nothing that don't belong to me. Glory to God. So you bring in the tithe to God, and you symbolically, mm-hmm. the tithe symbolically gives him the whole thing. You're saying, God, I give you everything through the tithe. And through the tithe, he blessed the other 90%. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's my answer on why do we tithe and how much is the tithe. Amen. I want to open up the floor. If anybody else has any comments on the tithe, how much and why we tithe the tenth and so forth, praise God. The floor is open, and we are ready for comments, praise God, on the tithe. Glory to God. Amen. No comments on the tithe. The tithe. No comments on the tithe. Well, amen. Amen. Well, I want to, I'm going to pose this question, amen, to my brother, praise God, hallelujah, amen, because somebody asked this question. Now, I know the answer, but I don't want to do all the talking. Praise God, hallelujah. So I'm going to pass the mic to Apostle Curry, and the question Apostle Curry is, who is the book of Malachi directed to? Who is it written to? Who is God talking to in the book of Malachi?
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord, man of God. Amen.
Bless
to
you,
all my brothers and sisters that are online tonight. The book of Malachi is actually God talking to the priests because they have because they had defiled the tithe and offering. And in them mishandling the tithe and offering and give offering. And so the Lord said, because of your disobedience and because you have dishonored me, your blessing is cursed. First of all, he said, you're cursed with a curse. And
uh-huh.
then he says, that your blessing is cursed. Now, that's some kind of curse when the Lord said that you are cursed with a curse. And then he cursed your blessing. for not honoring him with the tithe and offering. And he's on them because they don't feel no shame or guilt about dishonoring God. And it's the same going on today with some of our brothers and sisters who, if we don't take heed to how we handle God's tithe and offering, because tithe is to take care of us, but we got to make sure we're taking care of God's people, because we all going to give an account for how we handle God's tithe and offering. And so in the book of Malachi, and so many of us preachers, we throw it on the people. And we throw it on the people to say, well, will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me, amen, in tithe and offering. But we fail to tell the people that God is not talking to them as much as he's talking to us. Come on here, somebody.
Uh-huh.
Amen. We got to tell the truth so everybody can be free. See, if we don't tell the whole story and we leave bits and pieces out, then God still will hold us accountable for what we didn't say. Come on here, somebody. And then that'll make the people more freer to want to give, you know, instead of us beating them and barbering them and manipulating them through the word and putting the spirit of guilt and fear on them to give, because they're not going to give long like that. Amen. But if we tell the truth, because the Bible says, and the truth shall make us free. If we tell the truth, then people are want to give. We ain't got to say, you know, that they're going to be cursed with a curse. No. If we tell the truth and walk in truth, they're going to be happy to give. Come on here, somebody. And so, yeah, that's who the Lord is talking to in the book of Malachi. He's talking to the priest. But it's one particular scripture that I want to look at right quickly. Let's go to Malachi 3 right quick. Now, we get to, you know, where chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Because there's a whole lot that the Lord said before he get to, will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Can you get this shout, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And what the Lord says, and he says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, in the old, in the New Testament, that's talking about John the Baptist. But he said John the Baptist because John the Baptist was getting people ready to receive what? The Holy Ghost. Come on here, somebody. Because the first offering that God looks at is us. See, God know when he get us, then he get everything to come with us. See, the reason why there might be some that don't want to give, because maybe we haven't given God everything that belonged to us. God want our heart. He want our mind. He want our spirit. See, the first offering is us. See, because once God get us, then he know that your pocketbook is going to follow. Come on here, somebody. And so he says, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. When we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is who we are seeking, right? Because the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So God says, once I send my messenger, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, the Lord shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So the Lord said, I'm going to faithfully come because there will be the hour of visitation. How many know that right now we're in the hour of visitation? God says, I'm getting ready to visit you like never before because I'm getting ready to purify you and send refiner's fire to you because I want you to be holy without blemish. Come on here, somebody. Then when you give an offering, your offering will be a reflection of who you are. Come on. Lord, this is good. So God is saying, I'm getting you ready. I'm putting fresh fire in you. I'm cleaning you up. And I'm cleaning you out. So whatever dirt that may be in us, God is saying, no, it can't be there because I'm getting ready to refine you so that you will be a fire for me. Come on here, somebody. Hallelujah. Remember in the old church, they used to sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, true and holy, tried and true. We don't sing that no more. But we need to, because God says, I'm getting ready to visit you like never before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And notice who he's talking to. He's talking to the priest. Woo, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So the first visitation that God's going to send is going to be to the priest. Come on here, somebody. And so we got to get ready. Because God's saying my day of visitation is going to come sooner than what you think. So somebody give God a praise.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. So God is saying before, I deal with you about the tithe and the offering. I first want to deal with you concerning us making ourselves an offering to the Lord. Come on here, somebody.
Yes, Lord.
So when we give it, it will have more power. It will have more anointing. Why? Because we have been purified and cleansed by the Almighty.
Yes, Lord.
So I just want to look at that quickly on tonight. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Bless God. Bless God. So the book of Malachi, amen, is written, amen, to, amen, the priest. It's written to the preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. Because, amen, let's go back to chapter 3. Like the man of God said, it's written to the priest. So when he says, will a man rob God, they've been using that against the people when they was the ones robbing God. Because like today's time, the preacher would interpret the storehouse as being the church. When the storehouse wasn't the church, the storehouse was where they stored the tithes and offerings. It was a different building, not located connected to the temple. It was a different building. Mm. So when they say bring the tithes into the storehouse and they say bring them into the church, yeah, we supposed to bring them into the church, the congregants. But if I'm the pastor of that church or I'm in charge of the money of that church, I've got to – he's saying y'all misappropriating the funds. So he said – when he said bring all the tithes, that tells me that I'm getting – say I'm the pastor, you done paid your tithes, but I'm not putting my tithes back into the ministry. That's why I always ask people when they say you giving to the ministry, well, what's the ministry doing? What's the ministry doing? Because you're saying I'm giving to the ministry. But what's the ministry doing? So I'd be wondering, am I giving to the ministry or am I giving to the man? A lot of people church hurt behind that, behind, you know, the one young lady a few years ago was talking about her pastor buy Hennessy and rims for his car and stuff like that. Misappropriating, assuming they misappropriating the funds, because apparently it's been a reoccurring thing, because they was doing it back here in the Bible. And has anybody else ever noticed that you don't hear many preachers preach from the rest of the book of Malachi?
Mm-mm.
Like that, the passage that apostle just preached from. I say preach because, you know, he a preacher. That's what he do. Hallelujah. Amen. You never really heard that read before. The most I've ever heard the book of Malachi read was, "Will a man rob God?" And like the man of God said, they're using that to keep us in fear. In fear. Wow. Are we supposed to pay our tithes and our offering? Are we supposed to bring our tithes and offering to the church? Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
But God was focusing on the priest, the preacher. What you doing with the tithes and offering? What you doing? Mm-hmm. You supposed to tithe back. You supposed, like, we're not inspirational speakers. We not nothing like that. When we not getting paid for a job, put it that way. We supposed to give back into the ministry, and that's what God was telling them. Y'all not putting y'all part in. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Jews' part was 20%. The priest, I believe the priest had to pay 20%. Is anybody else online can verify?
20%. Because the offering was supposed to match the tithe. And so whatever the tithe was, the offering was supposed to match the tithe. Ugh. So that's why he said in tithe and offering.
Wow.
Because some people just give a tithe and think that they've done everything that God wants them to do. No, God says tithe and is a conjunction that hooks two words together. So he must want both of them to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's tithe and offering. And so,
amen.
You know.
And like the man of God said earlier, this book. Wait, before I go any further, anybody else have any more comments on tithes? On tithes, offering?
Can I just say something? I was trying to find the scripture, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Well,
yeah.
I was just looking at it. I was trying to find the scripture in there when he said, give God the choir of a tenth, because he gave it to the Levites. And the Levites were supposed to give a portion to the priests. These are two different separate ministries. One is supposed to give a tenth to the priest and to the Levites, and the Levites are supposed to give to, so that everybody would have a milk to take care of.
Amen.
At that time, it was a ministry. Now, I was trying to find the scripture in the book of Leviticus, but I wasn't ready for that. I would have had that together. But that was the way it was said to be done under the law of Moses, when God put it out to them. Bring all of the fifth to me. Your first, in other words, your first, always to be given to God. And this is what we call in Colossians 1 and 15, I see, to say Christ was supposed to have preeminence. Preeminence means that he was supposed to be first in everything. And that's the way it was supposed to be distributed. Now, either when you said a storehouse, if somebody was hungry, back in those times, the minister was supposed to take care of the orphans, the minister was supposed to take care of the widows, and everybody who had need in that time, that was supposed to be the storehouse, whether it was food or clothing or whatever, whether it was money. And that's the way it was supposed to be done, because ministry, because that's what God was upset with Israel about, because Israel wasn't taking care of widows. He wasn't taking care of orphans. He wasn't taking care of poor. And they would use the money for other things. But at the same time, that was God's requirement.
Amen. I believe that's in Leviticus 27, Pastor. I don't know the exact scripture. But but I believe it's in Leviticus 27 about the, let me see, Moses running around 66. No, that ain't it. I thought that was it. The fifth part. Wait. If a man sanctifies the Lord, nah, that's not it. The year Jubilee. It's somewhere up in here. I know it's somewhere up in there.
I think it's
27:30,
I think. 27:30.
All the tithes of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord.
Counts as an offering.
Amen.
Remember that the land and all its fruits were given by God.
Mm-hmm.
There's our way to recognize Him.
Yes. Leviticus 27:30.
Uh-huh. Okay, that part is saying add death to the fifth part thereof. If a man deem out his tithe. Okay, that scripture is saying if a man spend his tithes, you still owe those tithes to God. And
wow.
And it say add there to the fifth part thereof. So that ain't the one we was looking for about the, like there go the tenth to be holy, where it say the Levites. Because the Levites didn't receive the blessing like all the others did. So that was kind of, the tithe was kind of set up for them to receive. I know what the Pastor Page is talking about. I thought it was in 27. Okay, but this one is the one where it say if you spend your tithe, you still owe it, and he charges 5%. It say, therefore, the fifth part thereof. So a fifth, whatever your tithe was, plus a fifth of what your tithe was. So God, even though God don't want us to charge interest, he charges interest.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Unless I'm reading that incorrectly, if anybody want to correct me, feel free. But that's what it looked like it said to me. If a man will at redeem out his tithes, redeem means to take back. So he took back your tithes, therefore add thereto a fifth part. So 5% interest.
Yes. With what you already owe.
With what you already owe.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. But I'm still trying to find the one Pastor was talking about with the.
Oh man, I'm trying to find it right now. But I had did a study on
okay,
that.
Okay, Numbers 18.
Okay.
Let me see what Numbers 18 is saying. Numbers 18, verse 20 says, and the Lord spake to Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the people of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenths in Israel for inheritance. For their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So is that the one you're talking about, Pastor? Because he's saying I've given the Levi all the tenth of in Israel for an inheritance. Because the Levi,
that's part of it. That was part of it. But even though the Levites received the tithe, they were still supposed to give a portion to the priest. Now, there was two different ministries at that time, the Levites and the priest. They were supposed to take care of the ministry. But right now, I would have been ready to have it together. But that was just talking, you know. That's what it's all about, you know. When we talk about the storehouse, have, you know, although we don't have the bonds and stuff to put it in now, what we use today, we use money. And it seems like just the thing that we most love the most is what we always have to deal with the most. The deal that we love it. Amen.
Sound like Pastor Page babysitting. Glory to God. Excuse me. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So the tithe, so a tenth goes to the Levites, and somewhere in there the Levites tied to the priest. So it's like everybody is supposed to be tithe. I noticed when I was growing up, my pastor would tithe, and I was confused as a child because I didn't understand if he getting all the money back, why is he putting money in? But I didn't realize at the time that that's not what's going on, that everybody, including the pastor, is included in paying tithes and giving offerings. So the pastor, we have to tithe and do offering too, not just the congregation. Everybody, it's like everybody. Bless the name of the Lord. Okay, so we went to Leviticus, we done went to Numbers. Anybody else have any more comment on right there before we get back Malachi? Because it's way more in Malachi than just the money part. He talks about money a lot in Malachi. He starts off talking about it. But he talks about some other things the priest wasn't doing right also. Okay, when we go to Malachi, the first chapter, let's start at verse 6. At verse 6, he say, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and ye say, where have we despised them?" Now, what caught my eyes, he says, a son honoreth his father. Now, when I saw that word honoreth, I had never seen it spelled like that. I'm reading the old King James. So when I look up that word honoreth, that particular word honoreth is talking about money. It's literally talking about giving money. So it says a son honoreth his father. A son give money to his father. And a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? So he's saying, where is your tithes and your offering? Talking to the priest. Where is your tithes and your offering? And then he say in verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And ye say that, and in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. But if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? Offer it now unto thy government, and will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Says the Lord of hosts. He said, you know, When we in the Old Testament, when we brought our offering to the priest, it had to be, the lamb had to be spotless and unblemished. Spotless and unblemished. It had to be a perfect lamb, basically. And he's saying, God is saying that they've been bringing blind, crippled, and lame lambs to sacrifice unto the Lord. In other words, they gave the Lord what they ain't want. They gave the Lord what they didn't want. It's almost like, you know, when offering time comes, you reach in your pocket, you pull out your wad of bills. You pull out that wad of bills, but you only pulling out that wad of bills so you can get to the change up under it. So you can put the change in the collection plate. You giving God your leftovers, the stuff you don't want and you can't use. And that was interesting to me because a lot of people do that. I know I used to do that. Younger, I would give I get to church whatever change I had. You know, I peel back the 20, the 50, the 5, the 10 till I got to the ones. Praise God. Amen. You can have all these ones. I ain't going to the strip club or nothing. You can have these ones. But I'm keeping my 20s, my 50s, and my 10s, and my 5s. Amen. So God was talking to me when he wrote that when I was doing that. And a lot of us, I ain't going to say a lot. Well, some of us have done that, praise God. But now we know God don't want, like, I believe that was Pastor Page say, we got to put God first. And I remember hearing that growing up a lot. When you tithe, put your tithes out before you get your rent money out. And that'd be hard for us to listen to and do. But before you get your rent money out, before you get your gas money, your eating money, your habit money, y'all don't got habit money. But before you get your habit money out, glory to God, you got to pay your tithes first. God go first. And I remember every time my grandmother used to cash her, Social Security check, every time I'd be right there at the window with her, she would take some money and put it to the side and say, I'm putting God first. And even though her check, this is in the 90s, her Social Security check was less than $500 a month. And with no other source of income coming in. But we never wanted, I never wanted for nothing. The lights never got cut off. We never got an eviction notice. So I paid attention to that, and that told me that God, amen, is blessing the rest. Whatever she giving, God is blessing the rest of it, and it's causing that rest to stretch all the way out. So tithing is fundamental to your financial situation. Let me put it that way. Tithing is fundamental to your financial situation. I believe that's why Jesus said, I believe that's in the book of Matthew, he said, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. He said, y'all tithe everything, but y'all don't follow the rest of the law. And I believe he said that because when we tithe, we get blessed from tithing. We get blessed from putting money into play. We get blessed from that. That ain't doing, that's blessing your account. Praise God, hallelujah. But we got to learn to bless other people also. Bless God, hallelujah. Yes, any more comments on the book of Malachi before we go any further? Any questions? Anything right now, anything. Glory to God. The flow open for our... ask any more questions. Glory to God.
Well, for myself, anyway, whether I am or not, but I've always believed in giving my tithes first. I learned that a long time ago. And when we give to God first, God puts me first. And so, not trying to brag about it or anything. But since I started doing that, and I don't know how many years it is, I tell everybody, you know, when you say you've been broke, you know, I've been, it's called busted, but I've never been where that I didn't ever have enough.
Mm.
To say that much. Since I started doing that. And so I tell anybody, you know, and I do that now. I haven't quit. You know, I mean, when I get my little check now on the first of the month, I'm going to pay my tithe first. And what that did for me, it taught me how to regulate my spending because I always hold God first. I never overspent because I continue to have God first. You know, my bills never, I never over, what you might call it, overexerted myself in bills, because I always was looking at God first. Well, if I couldn't pay it, I didn't buy that car. If I couldn't pay it, I couldn't buy that house. If I couldn't give to God, I didn't go get this. I suffered that, you know, I didn't go get it. So it helped to regulate you because God always keeps you ahead of things when people do that. You put God first. And that is the thing. All God don't really need the money. So what is God going to do with money? He got all the money. And I want you to do this so I can bless you. You need the blessing, not God. We the one need the blessing. God already blessed. He already owns everything. But he's asking you to do that to show that, Lord, I have more confidence in you than I have in my money. See, that's when trust comes in, when we talk about first to you. Do you trust God? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. If I do this, Lord, I'm going to do this, Lord, because I trust you. I trust you to believe that whatever I give, you're going to get it back. And you know how we always had in those songs, you can't beat God giving. The more you give to him, the more he gives back to you. And we got to trust God for that. That believe that whatever I give, if I, you know, I think Isaiah 55, he talked about, he said he gives seed to the sower and bread for your food. Now, in other words, he said, I'm giving you the seed, but if you take the seed and eat the seed and don't plant none of the seed that I give you, how do you ever expect to get a crop? And see, a lot of us don't have crops because we eat our seed. We don't trust God. Tithing shows that you trust God. Lord, I trust you more than I do this money. And usually, that's how God knows whether you trust him or not, because a lot of other stuff you do don't cost you nothing. But when you got to give up some money for food or whatever it is that you're going to give God, it might not have to be money all the time. You know, tithing says a tenth. If you don't have no money, you give God a tenth of your tithe. You know, when you say tithing, he says that 2 hours and 40 minutes a day belong to God. We're supposed to spend it with him, man. 2 hours and 40 minutes, at least 2 hours and 40 minutes a day, because that's a tithe. That's 10%. And so whatever we do, you yield because you trust God. If you get into the thing, you know, I heard Minister Prevost say, you don't get into the thing that I have to do something. See, that's what Jesus came to take away from. He came to take you out from under the law. And being out, when you're under the law, you have to do it. These people had to do it back in that time. But now we don't have to do it. It means because I know it's something that I should do, I do it. I do it because I desire to, not because I have to. And so that's the difference between the law and grace. Everything you do for God under grace, you do it because you get to do it. You desire to do it. You want to please God. You want to do everything that God requires. I'm doing it because I love God, not because if you put love in the midst of it, that everything I do for him, I'm going to do it because I love him, not because I have to do it, because if I have to do it, that's a law. So you're not under the law when you say you're under the grace. Everything you do for God should be because I desire to do it. I want to be pleasing to him. Why? Because of what he did for me. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
That's
amen.
What God wants us to be. God wants to do things because we desire to do it. Well, I look in there, well, I know God would like for me to do this. Well, Lord, I want to please you. And I appreciate everything. You gave me life, Lord, so what is it that I give you some of this back? That to demonstrate my love towards you. And if you love God, you do it for God because you love you, because of what he did for you. And you're showing your love by what you do, not because of not what you have to do, because if you're being forced to do something, that's almost like rape, you know. When a person is forced to do something, then you're raping them, you know. So God don't want to rape nobody. God said, I want you to do it willing. What is that say? If you be willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of land. He didn't say that because you have to do it that. If you be willing and obedient, then you get the good of the land. So God requires obedience, not because you have to, but because you desire to. And that's the difference between us serving God today than the way they served God then. Back then, there was a law. If you didn't do it, go out there and shoot him. Phone and cut his head off. Go out there and take some rocks, you know, and knock him out the way. That was the law. But grace means not that I have to do it, but I get to do it because I desire to, not because I have to. Amen.
Amen.
You pay your tithes because you desire to, not because it's under the law to do it. Pay your tithes because you desire to be. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. And God said, well, if you want to please me, I'm going to make sure you always have enough. You always have enough. He that gathered little once had no lack, as it said in the book of Exodus. He that went out and gathered little had no lack. And he that gathered much had none over because he's equal. He's got equality. He's going to see that you have enough. And so far, been trusting in God, I don't know these years, God has always thought that I had enough. I ain't saying that I'm a millionaire or nothing like that, but I've always had enough to be able to let somebody else have something or yield to somebody else or to help somebody else. I've always had enough. And everybody look at me, well, you do this, and people using you, and people doing that. I laugh at them, you know. They're using me. Because I'm getting a blessing out of this, too. I don't get all that back to me and more. Well, they didn't pay you back. Well, I don't care if they didn't pay me back. God said, give and don't expect nothing back, because he's the rewarder. So when we put all our focus on God, rather than on the man, or on the people, Lord, I'm giving this to you. If the preacher don't do right with it, God, then it's belong to you, not unto me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm gonna quit preaching.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Glory to God.
Amen. Just to come in there with what Pastor had already said, that was so wonderful. How he had put that. And what hit my spirit was 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Where it says, every man according as he has purpose in his heart. So the offering or the giving should come from our heart. Because remember what he told Moses when he got ready to take an offering? He said, take an offering from those who have what? A willing heart and who want to give. That's why he says, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Because see, when we give grudgingly, we don't get nothing back in return. Oh, I know I got to give this. So I'm going to give it because I know that's what the Lord wants. No, the Lord wants us to give out of love, out of cheerfulness.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be able to give back to you what you blessed me with.
Yeah.
Because I know if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have nothing. I wouldn't have not anything, not a nothing. But I'm thanking you to be able to give back to you to show you that I appreciate what you've done for me. Come on here, somebody. Hallelujah. Or of necessity. Oh, I'm going to give this because I'm expecting something back. And I'm not saying for us not to expect nothing back when we give, but I'm saying out of necessity, meaning that, that I'm giving something, but I'm giving something because I want God to do something.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That necessity is because, you know, I'm giving this, Lord, but I'm expecting you to meet it as soon as I give it.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
The Lord don't want us to give like that. For God loveth. Notice, this is what God loves. He loveth what? A cheerful giver.
Yes, Lord.
This is what the Lord loves. This is what God loves. God says, I love it when my children are cheerful and giving to me. So is that what it means? In the word, my brothers and sisters,
yes, Lord.
When it says more blessed to give than to receive, because we open the door of opportunity through giving, and giving is a sign of what? Obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And giving shows that I don't have what? A stingy spirit. Come on here, somebody.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That's why he said, I love it when you love to give.
Wow. Yes, Lord.
And so that's what he was saying in the book of Malachi. He said, the people are watching your walk. They're watching what you're doing. And because you're not living holy before me, it's causing them not to want to honor me with their giving. And so God is saying tonight the first visitation is going to be to us as his ministers, as his priests. And I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm happy that the Lord get ready to visit his temple. Come on here, somebody.
Yes, Lord.
And it's going to show God been taking inventory. He been keeping inventory. We might not think so, but the Lord said, I've been keeping inventory. And so I'm just so thankful on tonight, amen, to be in a good place with my daddy, amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Can I give y'all a little testimony? Yes, yesterday I was talking to the Lord, and they was talking about work, and they was talking about, you know, jobs and people being fired up the job and everything like that, and, you know, how the unemployment rate has went up. I thought I was talking to God. I said, Lord, are you happy with the work I'm doing for you? Am I making you happy with how I'm carrying out what you want me to do? And the Lord spoke in my spirit and said, I'm happy with the work you're doing. Keep on working. You're doing a good job.
Yes, Lord.
How many know that when you hear the Lord say that, does that make you want to do more work for him?
Yes.
Amen.
Make money. Yes, Lord.
Because I just wanted to know, because, you know, when you work for somebody, you want to tell, no, you want to know, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I working out for you?
Yes, Lord.
Because how many know that if you do a good work for somebody, that they'll give you more work to do?
Yes, Lord.
So I was thanking God because,
yes, Lord,
I didn't want to make sure that me and the Lord was on the same page. I didn't want to make sure that my boss was pleased with me, because I don't never want him to come and say, you ain't working. Amen. I ain't. No. I don't never want to hear that. I want to hear good and faithful servant. Glory to God. I'm well pleased with you. I'm excited about you being on my team. Come on here, somebody. Amen. I want to stay on fire. Why? Because the refiner's fire is coming, y'all.
Yes,
the refiner's fire is coming.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And when the refiner fire comes, amen. He going to refine us real good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying, Lord, purge me some more, Lord. Whatever you find that ain't pleasing, take it out. Glory to God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Oh, saying you say, please search me, Lord. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. Hallelujah. We don't sing that no more.
Yes,
because we don't want the Lord to search us. Glory to God. Because we don't want him to find what he going to find in there. Glory to God. But Lord, search me. Search me, God. Amen. And if it's anything, God, that you don't want in there, take it out of those sons, though. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, y'all, tonight. I'm just fired up about this thing. Glory to God. Because you know what? Amen. God says, when I make you an offering, then when you give an offering. How many of you know that that's a double anointing? Come on here, somebody.
I know now. Yes, Lord.
If he was telling the priest back then, he said, you curse with a curse.
Yes,
glory to God. Amen. I'm cursing your blessing because you ain't doing right. Come on here, somebody.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to tell you back what it is. They had a pre-vote. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Bless the Lord on tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to take a quick look at a couple of more things in Malachi. Wait, did anybody else have a comment on tithing? Praise God. Or what we went over so far, glory to God. Amen. 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 Bless God. Hallelujah. I wanted to, like I said, there's a few more things in the book of Malachi where he addresses the behavior of his priests. I was testing the translation to make sure here. Yeah, verse 14 of chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, he talks about, he says, yet ye say wherefore, because the Lord has been witness, between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one? Yet in the residue of the spirit and whereof one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Now, when I first read that one, amen, and I wanted to check the translation to make sure this was the particular scripture I was asking Alexis about. He's not with us no more, praise God, but everybody's free to comment. This scripture is saying that the priest, apparently the priest, has gotten another wife who is different than the wife of thy youth. So in other words, the wife you had when you were younger. And we know that the priest had a history of doing that. That's why Moses wrote them the certificate of divorce, because Jesus said their hearts were hardened. In other words, they wanted to, I'm going to say it how they say it. They wanted to trade in what they had for a newer model. Praise God. Like we see that in the world a lot today. We see that a lot today. Men trade, women doing it too. They trading in what they got for a younger model, a newer model. Glory to God, hallelujah. And they're dealing treacherously, for whatever reason, with the wives of their youth. Or one person, I was discussing with one person, they said basically your ex-wife, your baby mama, the one you ain't with no more, your ex. You treating her treacherously. But God is saying, and like I said, we open for comments. God is saying at the end of verse 14, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. In other words, y'all did make vows, right? Y'all did make vows. So you still have a responsibility to treat her a certain way. Praise God. Just because y'all ain't together no more, that don't mean for you to be evil towards her or towards him. Because now, you know, you got ex-wives and ex-husbands. Back then, it was only ex-wives. Wives didn't have the right to divorce their husband. But now, you know, you can go file a divorce, she can go file a divorce. But the Bible's saying don't treat them treacherously. Don't be evil to them. Don't be mean to them because you ain't with them no more.
Yeah.
Because at one time, that was your boo. Ain't it crazy? I don't know. Ain't it crazy how at one moment this person can be your boo, and then another moment you want to kill them? You can't stand them? You don't want to be around them? Glory to God. But that used to be your boo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I personally believe that this scripture is telling us not to treat once again, he's talking to the priest. He say this is how the priest doing. And like the man of God said, they watching the priest. So if the priest is doing this stuff, it's okay for us to do this. It's okay for me to divorce my wife, give me a new one, and treat her like dirt. Mm. Praise God. That's where, this is really where they get alimony from, the way the Bible is set up. Even when you divorced your wife, do you know she didn't go nowhere? In the Bible, when they divorced their wives, they didn't go nowhere. Praise God. They still stayed there. The tradition still carries on today over there in Israel, in some places in Africa. Go ask them. They got divorced wives over there. They ain't went nowhere. They still stay there. They still eat their food. they are still, in other words, the man, the husband is still responsible for her, even though the term, the actual term that they used to use is, even though he put her away. He put her away. I don't want you no more. But I still got to take care of you. That's why they got alimony and child support over here in the United States. They got that from the way they did it in the Bible. So any comments on how we supposed to treat, you know what I'm saying, is anybody, because I ain't going to lie, I done treated my ex treacherously at times. Praise God. We better not, but at times, yeah, praise God, I got in my feelings and in my emotions. But he's saying, God, I take it like when I read that, God is telling me as a man of God, You are a leader. You are a role model. So however you treat people, that's how the people that follow you are going to treat people. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the way you treat people, that's the way people under you are going to treat people. I believe that's why he said in, I believe that's Luke chapter 17, maybe 18, but I think it's 17. He said, take heed to yourself. Watch yourself. You need to watch what you're doing because people are watching you. And I always gave the example when I worked at a warehouse down in Houston. When I worked at this warehouse, it was a cold warehouse, so a refrigerated warehouse. So we were in there like Eskimos. We had on ski masks, galoshes, heavy coats, 2-3 pair of pants, 2-3 shirts. So while we're in the building, you don't really know who nobody is because everybody look like they finna rob somebody. That's how I look. Everybody's ski masked up. So we don't know how nobody look until we go on break. Now, one day I went on break, and every day I used to go on break, and we used to smoke cigarettes under this tree. Now, I was smoking cigarettes with this dude, and this dude was talking about how most of the employees couldn't speak English. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a language barrier. And he said, yeah, but you be still able to communicate with them some kind of way. I'll be watching it. I'll be watching you. You got it down. And I said, yeah, I do be. And then in the middle of me answering him back, I thought for a second, I don't know. I don't never see this dude. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While I'm in there, I don't never see this guy. Praise God. He said, I drive a forklift. I see all the forklift drivers. I don't see you when I'm in there, but he sees me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't see him watching me, but he's watching me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I believe God is saying, I'm watching. The people are watching you, men and women of God. We want to see how you act, praise God. It's a lady at my job right now, hallelujah. She always watching my wife. Glory to God, hallelujah. I don't know if she's watching her to see if she's going to slip up or something. Glory to God. You know how people, they just watch you. She's saved. She's a woman of God. I see it. Yeah, well, you see it because you watching. Glory to God. Watching hard. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. People watching you almost make you want to be on your tiptoes. You walking on eggshells. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because everybody got their eyes on you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. I was telling about at the job, I say, one time I was banned from going live for about a week. And he said, well, how you got banned for going live for a week? I say a dude got on my live and started beefing with me, started trying to roast me on my live. But the way I phrased it, I said, I didn't phrase it like that. I had to explain it to him. When he first asked, I said I was beefing with somebody. And he looked at me and said, beefing with somebody? You? His response was telling me, I don't see you beefing with nobody. Like, you ain't that type to be around here beefing with nobody. So I had to break him down. Now, I wasn't beefing with him. He was beefing with me. He got on there and started roasting me, and somebody reported me, reported him, but that killed my live, and I can't go back on live for a couple of days. But it would surprise him to think that I would be going back and forth with somebody. Praise God. But ask somebody that knew me about 10 years ago. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Would Andre be going back and forth with somebody all the time? Praise God, and he gonna get the last word. He was raised by a woman. He gonna get that last word. He was trained how to get it, and he gonna get it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But now when you try to roll with me, now I just block you. If you get on in a comment, if you do something, say something, now I just block you. If you in person, I just don't talk to you no more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't finna stand here and go back and forth with you. I'm grown. We ain't on the playground. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But anybody got any comments on that part? Dealing treacherously with the wife of thy youth. Am I interpreting that correctly, praise God? Amen. Or do y'all see something else? Praise God. Line open, praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to look at one last thing, then we can get out of here, because Pastor Alexis pointed this out to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And this, I believe this, hallelujah, amen, will bless somebody. It's in, praise God, it's in Malachi. Here we go. Go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. I think this will bless us tonight, amen. Because right now up in heaven, there's some writing going on. Hallelujah. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And in a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In that day I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen. Praise God. The way Pastor Alexis said this to us on the line, this was about 6 years ago, amen, on the line, he said, every time we come together, speak upon his name, our name get wrote down in the book. Glory to God, hallelujah. The book of remembrance, praise God, hallelujah. It's like God put it on his calendar, right, like right now, hallelujah. God done wrote, hallelujah. What day is it? It's the 5th. It's the 7th, man. Praise God. I don't know what day it is. Hallelujah. It's the 7th. Friday, October the 7th. Hallelujah. They got together and met at such and such a time to such and such a time, and they were discussing me. Glory to God. It's written down in the book. Hallelujah. Amen. And that itself was a blessing, because they don't get, remember, they ain't get to that part in church. They just stopped at Malachi, you know, will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You know, trying to, leading for the cash. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But they never got to the part that this whole meeting is being written down in the book. In God, I call it God's history book. Hallelujah, praise God. On this such a date, such and such and such and such, they all got together in my name. I know, because I was there. He said, if two or three gather together in my name, I'm in the midst. So he's in the midst of this. So our names are being written in the book of remembrance. Oh, Lord, I don't know why that's being... It just repeated itself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. But we need to give God the glory for that. Hallelujah. That he remembers every time we come together in his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And that's all I got for tonight. Amen. Anybody have anything else on tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Any questions about the book of Malachi or anything we went over on tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I just
talking. Oh, go ahead.
I praise God. I said that it helped to know what the study was going to be about in advance. So it helped a whole lot. Thank you, Pastor Prevost, for sharing that with me.
Amen, amen. And I'll try to get what we're gonna talk about on Fridays out sometime around Sunday. I'm not sure what we're gonna do this coming week. Amen. But I'll have it out by Sunday, glory to God. I'll text that out by Sunday. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Sister Hope, for joining us tonight. Praise God. It's always a blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was just going to add something there, if you don't mind, right there. You was talking about the Book of Remembrance.
Amen.
And when you get to the Book of Acts, I think it's the fifth chapter, I believe, where Cornelius is a devout man that gave tithes, I mean, gave alms, and prayed always to God. And because he did that, the angels was looking and they was paying attention to what he was doing, and his whole household got saved because of all the good deeds that he was doing. Amen. And so that's what he said, your giving, I'll just put it like that. I might say tithes and offering, but I'm talking about his giving and things that he did. The angel told Cornelius, a memorial is come up before me. And that was for all the good things he had did, because I guess Hebrews, I think it's 13:3, that God will not forget your labor of love that you have done among his people. And so God never forget what you do for somebody else. And so because of what Cornelius had done, and even though he wasn't even saved at the time, somebody say, "Well, so I'm trying to say your giving works for the, it'll work for the unsaved as well as it works for the saved if you're doing it." Cornelius got saved because of the good deeds he had done before God, and God brought it up for a memorial. But then when you go over there to the Book of Revelation, they talk about the books was open, and another book. So he's saying that the angels keep good records. I heard somebody who said they had a trip to heaven, and they said the angels keep good records of everything you do. Because how are you going to be judged? You're going to be judged out of those things that you've done, whether it be good or evil, because they keep good records of what you do. So whatever you do for God, God remembering it. He always remember what you do. And I can go back just a little bit. I go back to, I was looking at, that was in the Book of Esther. Mordecai, you know, they were getting ready to kill the king. And the king, and Mordecai told plotting against the king. And the king told his servants one day, well, look in the record, look in the Book of Records to see if there anything that Mordecai did for me. And Mordecai was exalted. He was exalted, even though he was a Hebrew, he was exalted in another kingdom because of the good that he did. And so let us all remember that everything you do is being written down. When you think on God, they write that down every time. And then when you yield in the name of the Lord, they write that down. So everything that you do, God is keeping records, because how is it that you're going to be judged? Like they say in the Book of Revelation, when they look at the book, how are you going to be? You're going to be judged out of the book. Is that what it says? I don't know if that's chapter 22 or whatever it is, but that's what it's all about. Whatever you do for the Lord, He's going to remember what you do. Hezekiah, remember Hezekiah? That's another one. When God told him he's going to die. And Hezekiah went back and called God to remember. Well, Lord, to remember, I tore all the idols down, and, you know, I did all the this. And God said, yeah, I remember you did that. I'm going to give you 50 more years for that. So when you're doing good deeds in the name of the Lord, God's going to remember, and you will be rewarded for it. So that's the good thing of it, is that whatever book, the Book of Remembrance, remember, there is a book being kept on you right now, because I don't know how else we can be judged out of a book unless there are some names and records of the things you did.
Come on.
So be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful what you do, because it's being written down.
Mm.
And so that's all I have to say about the book of remembrance. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be careful. It's being written down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's scary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Any more comments on tonight? Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we bless the name of the Lord on tonight. Amen. We've truly had a blessed time in the Lord on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We broke down, we went through, amen, and broke down pieces of the book of Malachi. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of the highlights that's in there. Amen. And it's about more than just the money. Hallelujah. Praise God. By how we're treating people also. Hallelujah. And it's the fact that it wasn't how the preacher using it on us when God was telling it to him. We all should tithe. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But he was talking to you when he said, he was talking to us when he said we was the ones robbing God in tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Now, does that apply to the people? Yeah. Hallelujah. Because if you're not paying your tithes, you robbing God of your tithes and offering. Hallelujah. But God was telling us, make sure you are rightly, doing the money right. Make sure you're giving what you're supposed to be giving, so it'll be me and my house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They forget that part. It'll be me. They concentrate on the curses. Hallelujah. But ignore the fact that it could be me in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. To feed the hungry. Glory to God. To feed the Levites, the priests. Everybody got to eat. Glory to God. We got to have meat in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I can vouch for Bishop Page. I know him personally. Hallelujah. Everything he said was true. He gives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He takes the tithes into the storehouse. That's the storehouse guy is the bank. That's why you got to store the money at the bank. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He do everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything he say he is. I can vouch for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we thank God on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. For everybody called in and tuned in, we've had a blessed time talking about the book of Malachi, talking about giving. Amen. Talking about being written in the book of life, in the book of remembrance. Hallelujah. And we thank God. Hallelujah for that. We will be on tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's 12 o'clock my time. If you're over there in California, hallelujah, that's going to be 9 o'clock. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're on the East Coast, hallelujah, over there in New York, Florida, praise God. Hallelujah. That time will be 1 o'clock p.m. Glory to God. So make sure y'all join us tomorrow for Out of the Mouth of God Ministries. Praise God. The Sabbath day service. Hallelujah. And, of course, bringing forth the word will be none other than Apostle Eldon Curry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So make sure y'all join us tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. We've had a blessed time in the Lord on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests before I pray us out on tonight? Glory to God. Well, amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you on tonight. We thank you, Lord, once again, hallelujah, for allowing us to, amen, come together in your name. Thank you for being present with us on tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for congregating with us on tonight. Hallelujah. And as we leave the line, but never ever from your presence, Lord, we simply pray that your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us till we all come back together again. Glory to God on tonight. I want to thank Apostle Currier, Bishop Page, hallelujah, amen. The First Ladies, amen.
Hallelujah, Sister Hope. We thank all of y'all for joining us on tonight. We've had a blessed time. Hallelujah, amen. And on behalf of everybody, we love y'all. Everybody out there, have a blessed night. And as I always say, don't forget to say your prayers and see what God, hallelujah, amen, can manifest in your life on tomorrow. Everybody have a blessed night. Go with God. And don't forget that God got a blessing.
Makes no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. He's born that's always. So get ready.
Get ready.
For your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready.
For your miracle.
For your miracle.
Get ready.
Get ready.
For your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready.
For your miracle.
For your miracle.
I know you've been hurt. You, it's gonna be alright. Troubles and trials come to make you strong. Keep on believing. You keep holding on. Get ready.
Get ready.
For your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready.
For your miracle.
For your miracle.
Get ready.
Get ready.
For your blessing. Say that with me. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
If you really believe it, God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Come on. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, sir. It is the
sweetest name I know.
Come on and lift your hands and say it with me.
It is the sweetest. It is the sweetest name. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel. Oh. When I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
yeah, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. I need something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
love the name Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to. And I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it. Somebody just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them never could have made it.
Never.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never would have
made it. Never could have made it. I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord. Oh, good God Almighty. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it. Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say it with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh.